The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. Happy Pesach, happy Passover. We're in the midst of the Passover holiday. In fact, tonight starts the last days of Passover. When we had the show on Friday, we used to announce candlelighting time in the greater Detroit area. So we can do that tonight. Candlelighting time in the greater Detroit area tonight is 7:51. The holiday will be over on Tuesday night at approximately 9:05. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I hope your Passover is going very well. We're going to be playing lots of music in the show today. Some Passover music, some Passover-esque music, and some music that doesn't have anything to do at all with Passover. For your listening pleasure, we'll be talking about Passover in general, the seventh day of Passover, which is the splitting of the sea. We'll be talking about Mashiach, which is Mashiach's day is Tuesday. Maybe we'll tie it into the portion. That should be an easy one, which is the portion of Shmini, which can be found in chapter 8 of the book of Leviticus. A tremendous story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A rocket fired from Sinai landed on a greenhouse in southern Israel near Gaza hours after Israel closed its borders with Egypt, citing fear of an imminent attack. No injuries were reported. The Islamic State terror organization later claimed responsibility for the attack. Israel advised its citizens to leave Sinai, which is a popular tourist site, during Passover. Israeli authorities are trying to find three people who went missing while rafting on the Kinneret. 80 people were rescued from the lake this week because of heavy winds. Pascal Vargas, a Brooklyn man, was arrested for drawing swastikas in men's bathrooms in New York's Penn Station. Vargas is charged with 8 counts of criminal mischief in the fourth degree, which are being prosecuted as hate crimes. In related news, New York City police report a 55% increase in hate crimes so far in 2017 over last year. Most hate crimes reported involved anti-Semitism. In related news, swastikas were spray-painted on the front of the Jewish Community Center of Northern Virginia in Fairfax. Police are investigating. 2 Holocaust memorials in Greece were vandalized over the Passover holiday. The marble veneer was smashed in Kavala, a city in northern Greece. There are no suspects. The monument, unveiled about a year ago, commemorates 1,484 Jews from the city who died in Nazi death camps during World War II. And finally, get your traveling shoes on. 10 airlines will be flying to Israel in the coming months. These are new airlines, bringing the total up to about 140. The new airlines are Air India, Canadian airline Air Transat, Cobalt Air based in Cyprus, Eurowings based in Cologne, Germany, Palma de Mallorca based Envelope Air, you can airmail yourself, Moscow-based Pegasus Fly and Yarmul Airlines, and WOW Air, which is an Icelandic airline that will operate flights to Reykjavik with connections to U.S. destinations. For example, Chicago to Ben-Gurion, $500 round trip, beginning in June. I think you have to bring your own seat. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program, When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. Herschel Fidman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. One Stop is open till 6 p.m. tonight for any of those last-moment shopping things. You might even be able to find one of those reduced Passover cakes, which some of them are pretty phenomenal, especially the ones which are made wheat-free. These are made with, like, potato starch or something else, which is Passover kosher, holding them together, and they're just magnificent. You might want to go stop over there and get one of those. Up for your listening pleasure, this is Gad Elbaz, no stranger to the Jewish Hour. The song is called Manish Tana, which translates as Why Is This Night Different Than All Other Nights? It introduces the Passover Seder, which is the meal, which we eat at the beginning of the Passover holiday. And it's usually asked by a child. But like in my house, for example, the youngest person, who at this point is 21. So let's listen to Gad Elbaz asking, why is this night different?
Yeah.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Fudman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Tonight, we will be celebrating the end days of Passover, the 7th day and 8th day of Passover, which are called, by the way, the 7th and 8th day of Passover. Imagine that. Tonight commemorates the splitting of the sea. And there are those people who actually stay up all night, just as the Jews, 3,328 years or so ago, stayed up all night crossing the sea. It took them a whole night to cross. Now, the answer to the question, why did the Jews cross the sea, is not to get to the other side. Because most people are not aware of this. The sea split in like a half circle, and they came up downstream, or down whatever seas have, on the same side. They didn't go across. They just stayed on the same side. The whole purpose of the splitting of the sea was to show the world, just really listen, when you need God and you're a pinch, you can always count on the Almighty. Even though it does say, don't rely on miracles, but don't be surprised when they happen either. And the Jews themselves were probably the most surprised. Here it was a scenario. It says that the Jews, when they came to the sea, okay, so they're on this isthmus, you know, that one from the, yes, that's from like Little Rascals, isthmus be my lucky day, yes. They're surrounded on three sides by water. The approaching, advancing, hostile Egyptian army, things just don't change, is advancing. And the Jews broke into four camps, four opinions. What should we do? It's amazing. With 600,000 families, it wasn't more than like, say, like 610,000 opinions what to do. There's one opinion that said, well, we gave it the old college try. Sorry, we got to go back. We'll surrender. The other group said, nope, it's better that we throw ourselves into the sea and drown as martyrs rather than go back to that. Third group said, listen, we got God on our side. We should stand and hold our ground and fight. And the third group said, I think we need to pray. Now, giving those coordinates, which do you think Moses, which one of the four did he do? Fighting? No. Pray. It's a very interesting thing. We see that in the book of Exodus in chapter 14, where Moses is standing there praying, and God basically says to him, translation is my own, but it's in this tone, will you just shut up? Like, what are you bothering me for? I've already given you instructions what to do. Don't you see? Because all this time they'd been following the cloud. Okay, the cloud is a pillar of a cloud. It probably looked like a big hand with a pointer finger and the thumb going, go this way. And it's pointing over the sea. So finally, Moses gets, Moses is brother-in-law, Nachshon ben Aminadav, Moses' nephew, Miriam's son, says, whoa, the cloud is saying go that way, he went that way, and the sea split right under his feet. As he walked in, the sea split. Now, it didn't split into one path, and then everybody just went through like in a movie famous with a cast of thousands back in 1956. No, it actually split into 13 tunnels. Each tribe had its own path, And those people who didn't know what tribe from whence they came, they had their own too. And it says there were zillions of miracles that went on for the Jewish people as they were walking through the desert, through the sea. First of all, when you drain a swamp, for example, you get all this mucky stuff. Nope, this was a paved road. In addition to it, it's like, you know, you're crossing, you're traveling between point A and point B with little kids. What's the kid first thing he says? I'm thirsty. Okay? Not are we there yet. That didn't happen for a while. I'm thirsty. So it just so happened that there were fresh running springs running through the water, as which was standing now in a polarized manner and an upright way. And of course the kids can say, I want hungry. And there were fruit trees. And what did the kids do? For the most part, this is what kids would do. Okay? You got this fruit growing there, ready for them to eat. And what are the kids doing? They're taking the fruit and they're throwing it at birds that happen to be flying around, whistling, whatever. And the birds are the ones eating the fruit. So it kept the kids busy. It was a good game, I suppose. Excuse me. So then, as soon as the last Jew got out of this sea and Moses brought down his outstretched arm with his walking stick, so the sea bed turned to hot, boiling mud. The wagon wheels broke on the chariots of the Egyptians. The hoofs of the horses fell off, and all the Egyptians were killed, except for one, Pharaoh. That's for another time. He crawled out and went on to Nineveh and became the king in the Jonah story, and the king of Nineveh, if you can go look over there in the book of Jonah. So why, what, this is some serious pageantry going on over here. Was it really necessary to do all of this? God could have just as easily, would have been really cool, okay, that the Jews get to a certain point. God led them this way anyway, but he couldn't have to lead them that way. Could have led them some other way and put this like invisible force field. And as much as the Egyptians tried, it was like, you have to have this whole thing, splitting seas and water and fruit trees and kids, all business over here, and coming up on the same side. Even they didn't even, it wasn't necessary for the traveling purpose. We use the splitting of the sea really as an example for how God creates the world. Moses, okay, this, it could have been done anyway. God could have said anything, and it would have happened that way. But this is the way it happened. Moses was standing at the side of the sea, and he stretched out his hand, and an east wind blew. And as long as the east wind was blowing, the nature of water changed. It was no longer viscous, flowing, and aqueous. It was now standing like a wall in a polarized fashion, split. That was the nature of water. As soon as the east wind stopped, water went back to doing what water does, flowing aqueous solution. Yes. The Almighty creates the world in an exact fashion, because what was here before the world was here? Nothing. What does nothing do? Nothing does nothing. What did the Almighty do? The Almighty injected some vitality, some godliness, some life into the nothing, making the nothing a something. As long as the Almighty is actively involved in making the nothing a something, the nothing will stay a something. As soon as the Almighty says, okay, they're done, gone, it goes back to the nothing from whence it came, as though it never was a something, same like the sea, went back to flowing, just as though it had never stood before. But you could say, wait a minute, why can't it be that the Almighty just like created the world? Ta-da! Let there be a world. And then step back and let the world do its own thing. Well, there's a big problem with that, because let's say you're the Almighty. Where are you stepping back? Two, there is no back for the Almighty. There is no getting out of the way. Leis asor panoi minei. There's no place void of God. God cannot remove himself. So God is actively involved with the creation on a constant basis. And we learn to recognize this from the seventh day of Passover. I think I'd like to listen to some music now rather than listening to me. I think we're going to listen right now. We've got it queued up over here. This is the Klezmatics, and it's Alle Brüder, We're All Brothers. We have something else coming up. Every year, 613, which is the name of the group, comes out with a thing for Passover. They're an a cappella group. They've been doing it for a while. So this year's is simply called Passover. It's an interesting piece, and I thought maybe you might want to listen to it. So let's listen to 613, Passover. Doom, 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 doom.
Cleaned the house and got rid of the hummus. Now the Seder's where I go. Me and my fam at the table eating matzah like the Hebrews long ago. So come over, we start Passover Seder by blessing the wine. Then we wash in our hands. Then we grab the parsley, dip it in the salt water, and break the middle matzah in half.
And now we're singing like, girl, you know I want matzah. Matzah was handmade by my father before me. Thanking God that we were freed, let out of slavery in Mitzrayim. Say, boys, now we'll drink four cups, spill four the plates, and go off with the magid. Thanking God that we were freed, thanking God that we were freed.
Feeling love from my Seder crew. Gonna rock out the Dayenu. Chagad Yala and Adiru. Next year in Yerushalayim. Tonight family fills the room. And the kitchen smells like soup. For 8 days we're saying thank you to God who took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. For 8 days we're saying thank you to God who
bread.
Took us out of Mitzrayim.
Questions again before the meal can begin, and eat the matzah our forefathers ate. They had to leave swiftly, no time to add yeast. Now we've got unleavened bread on the plate. Take a bite of the mar so we remember the horrors of our lives as Egyptians, please.
Let my people
and for
roasted
to that, we put it on matzah and then eat Hillel sandwich, then Shulchan Aray.
And we're singing like, girl, you know I want matzah. Matzah was handmade by my papi for me. Thanking God that we were freed, let out of slavery, Mitzrayim. Say, boys, now we'll drink four cups, spill four the plates and go on with the magid. Thanking God that we were freed, thanking God that we were free, Dayenu.
Feeling love from a Seder crew. Gonna rock out the Dayenu. Chagadiyah and Adira. Next year in Yerushalayim. Tonight family fills the room. And the kitchen smells like soup. For it is we're saying thank you to God who took us out of Mitzrayim.
Money's tied up, money's tied up.
He took us out of Mitzrayim.
Money's tied up.
Took us out of Mitzrayim.
Money's tied up, money's tied up.
He took us out of Mitzrayim. Dayenu and Chagadiyah and Adiru. I'm feeling love from my Seder crew.
Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on, Baba Zaydi, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on. Come on, Baba Zaydi, come on. Come on to the Seder, come on.
Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are doing the Passover show. We're in the midst of Pesach. Happy crumb crunching. Still got three more days to eat matzah today, Monday and Tuesday. We're still doing that. We're refraining from eating bread. Let's just ask a quick, what's so wrong with eating bread? We do it 51 weeks out of the year, you know? What's all of a sudden? No. And not only that, but unlike, say, like mixtures of milk and meat, or if a piece of non-kosher animal like a pig got mixed into something, if it was less than 1/60th, meaning it didn't contribute anything in its taste to the dish, so then it was considered as though it wasn't there. Okay, because you can't do it to begin with. You can't say, okay, I'm going to put in 1/60th lard into this dish. Nope, that's illegal. But if it happened that 1/60th lard fell into this pot and got mixed in, you could still eat it. With Passover, these little breadcrumbs would invalidate tons of matzah. Just totally take it, sorry, can't eat it. What's the big deal? Well, Passover is the whole thing with Passover, the way it was set up, even from time of Egypt, and then the ensuing years with the Passover lamb, and the way the Haggadah is set up, the story which is said at the time of the Seder, the Passover meal, is to recognize the singularity of God. And that's the basic creed of the Jewish people. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What we're trying to do is achieve a real, not just an understanding, but an awareness that God is one. Not that there's one God. That's like, duh. But God is one. The Ein Sheni Lo. There's nothing else. And we all are part of that singularity. Now, how is it possible for a person to get there? Well, you can ask the famous question, if the Almighty is infinite, what contains infinity? The answer is nothing. So you have to make yourself a nothing. When you'll make yourself a nothing, then you'll be able to be that one with the Almighty. That's what matzah is all about. Matzah is flat. Bread is puffed up.
Bread is saying, I am. Matzah is saying, I'm not. So we have this exercise in negating our own selves, which is began with Passover and continues, believe it or not, not just ending on Tuesday, but continues all the way to Shavuos, known as the holiday of the Pentecost, which is always 50 days after the first day of Shavuos. I think it's June 4th, but don't quote me on it. I haven't looked at the calendar recently. Because at the giving of the Torah, the Jews achieved the ultimate something, that they could receive the Torah. We're going to talk about that more in the upcoming weeks. Speaking of weeks, we've got, for your listening pleasure, this is Elliot Dvarin, and this song is basically just a Passover mashup. Let's listen.
Shachar l'shochet, shachar l'torah, the shatta l'maya, the chava l'nura, the sarach l'chutra, the hikar l'chalba, the nashach l'shunra, the achla l'gad, the zabin abba, b'drei zuze, chagad ya.
Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. The last part of that mashup was actually the last song. At the end of the Haggadah, there's a whole bunch of songs that are sung. The most famous one It was the last one then. That's why he put it there. It's called Chad Gadya, which is translated as one goat. And it's a parable of how my father, it goes back, I think, even maybe pre-Babylonian even, my father bought a goat to use as a paschal lamb. But unfortunately, a cat ate it. And what happened was is a dog ate the cat. But what happened is a stick beat the dog. But what happened was a fire burnt the stick. But what happened was that water came and put out the fire. But what happened was is a cow came and drank the water. But what happened was is that a slaughterer came and slaughtered the cow. But what happened was is the angel of death came and killed the slaughterer. But what happened will be is that the Almighty will kill the angel of death. And that's talking about when Mashiach comes, when Messiah comes. So the whole song, the end of the Haggadah is, okay, we talked about then. We talked about 3,300 years ago. What was then? What will be is, it says, like Mashiach will come, it says, I will show you wonders which will dim the wonders at Egypt. Egypt's going to be like, yeah, that was nice. 12, 10 plagues, yeah, nice. Splitting of the sea. Okay, good, yeah. Messiah, ooh, yes. And it says that it's not even going to matter at that point. It says one of the things Mashiach does not have to do is perform miracles. He doesn't have to. It's got nothing to do. It's not in his contract. It just so happens that the godliness will be so abounding that normal will be miraculous. There are numerous versions of this song, Chad Gadya. In fact, one of the first CDs that I got sent 21 years ago was by Velvel Pasternak. I told him, I'm starting this new show, I need some music. He sent me, it's very nice. He sent me a box of 30 CDs that he was trying to hawk. I don't remember the name of the company. The company's gone out of business since. But he was very nice, got me set up with the beginning of what would to be the Jewish Hour Radio Archives, Music Archives. And so one of the songs, one of the CDs actually had 30 different versions of Chad Gadya, of this song, from around the world. Very cool. We have up, for your listening pleasure, this is a Moroccan version of Chad Gadya, sung by the immortal Joe Amar.
Had gadia, had gadia, deza bin abba bitre zuze. Had gadia, had gadia, deza bin abba bitre zuze. Ba ata shunra ve achla le gadia, deza bin abba bitre zuze. Had gadia, had gadia. De achla le gadia, de zabin abba bitre zuze. Had gadia, had gadia, de zabin abba bitre zuze. Va'ata chutra vehika le chalma, de nashach le shonra, de achla le gadia. Deza bin abba bitre zuze, had gadia, deza bin abba bitre zuze. Va'ata nura vesaraf lechutra, dehika lechalba, de nashach lechunra, de achla legadia. Deza bin abba bitre zuze, had gadia, deza bin abba bitre, had gadia, had gadia, deza bin abba bitre zuze. Mm-hmm.
ושרף לחוטרה והיכה לחלבה ומשך לשונרה ואכלה לגדיה וזבינה בא ותרזו זה חלגליה חלגליה
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs.
Hey, Schultzman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. Tomorrow night is the 8th day of Passover, which technically, biblically speaking, there is no such thing as the 8th day of Passover. Passover is 7 days. But because the Jews moved away during the first temple time, and there was really lack of communication as to the establishment of when the holiday would begin. So the rabbis instituted an extra day just to make sure. Sometime, maybe a couple hundred years after it was first instituted, probably during the Greek occupation, the rabbis instituted the readings of prophets in the synagogue. The prophet that is read there is taken from the book of Ezekiel, the famous dry bones scenario where Ezekiel is looking over a valley and he sees these skeletons there. And what are these skeletons? These are actually the people who left Egypt who died in the desert. And they miraculously come back to life. You know, the song, them dry bones. I did not play that this year for very good reason. The Baal Shem Tov really focused, Baal Shem Tov put you in these early 1700s, really focused that that day, Tuesday, is, of any other day of the year, that's Mashiach's day. That's when the Haftorah, this portion of the prophets, deals with the Mashiach. It's a day which relates to the number 8, which we're in the portion of Shemini, which talks about the 8th day of the consecration. 8 is a number which goes beyond nature. The world is set up in a series of 7 days of the week. When you get to Saturday, the next day is not day 8, it's Sunday the next week. We start all over again, the beginning of the week. But what we're trying to achieve, what we do achieve on this day, is a participation in the coming of the Mashiach. Normally, on the everyday Shabbos, Saturday, it is incumbent upon Jews to eat 3 meals. One Friday night, one Saturday day, either late morning or early afternoon, and then one towards the evening before it gets dark. During holidays, we only need to eat 2 meals a day. One at night and one during the day. The Baal Shem Tov instituted a third meal right before the close
of the holiday of Passover. And he called it Mashiach Suda, the meal to greet the Messiah. And I believe it was 1906. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, at the such said gathering, instructed that everybody should consume 4 glasses of wine, similar to the way one consumes 4 glasses of wine at the Passover Seder at the onset, saying that since we drink wine at the Seder to show that we are a liberated people, we are free from bondage, so we should do so at this eighth day meal, Mashiach Suda. Since then, it has become a custom, and I strongly urge everybody within the listening area of this station, 1500 AM and 92.7 FM, that on Tuesday afternoon, 5 o'clock-ish or later, sometime before 8, to have some matzah, preferably shmura matzah, the handmade genuine matzah. And if you need, you can still contact me within the next couple of hours. Maybe we can arrange getting you some. It's on sale. And some wine. And to look, find somewhere to talk about the Messianic era. Because the Messianic era relates to above nature. Nature will change. It says that the moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be as bright as the light created on the first day of creation. And then it says, well, what about the light of the first day of creation? It says, well, the righteous will enjoy that light. And we can say enough said for that. Meaning, status quo will be perfection. There won't be anything to do. And in fact, it says, you know, some people are getting a little nervous. They say, wait, you mean I'm done? But I didn't do enough. That's why we encourage people to do more now, so that when Mashiach comes, hopefully today before the end of the day, that you've done enough. Because at that time, there were all types. The Bible's just rife with them. The book of most of the book of Isaiah, little pieces of Jeremiah, few pieces of Jeremiah. Good part of the book of Ezekiel. You have in the 12 prophets and Sophonia and Zechariah. How do you say Sophonia in English? I don't know. Zechariah, I know Zechariah, but Sophonia, I don't know. What are they? Sophonia? I'm looking at my board up who's saying, what do I know? I am just a board up. No, we're not going to go there. The Bible is rife with such things, promising great things for the world. We get to tune into that. We get a bit of that when Mashiach comes. And so I cannot overemphasize the importance of the third meal on Tuesday, sometime 5 o'clock in the afternoon, somewhere around there. It's like you would call it evening. If you would meet somebody in the street and you would say to them, good evening, rather than good afternoon, that's about the time you would do it. Because isn't it about time Mashiach came? Speaking of about time, we've got to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Shulterman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest, bestest way? Go to rabbifinman.com. You'll find right on the homepage, contact me. You contact me, I'll contact you. If you contact me today, I might be a little busy because Yom Tov, the holiday, starts tonight at 7:51 and is over on Tuesday night at about 9:05. Some calendars say 9:10, so if you want to be strict on yourself and keep the eating the matzah for another 5 minutes, go for it, but 9:05 is good enough. If you authorize me to sell your chametz to get rid of it, it will be yours again at approximately 9:20. That's where you can start eating your own chametz. You can open up the cabinets and start filling your face if that's something that you so desire. I don't even think about such things right now, but 9:20 for that. What else will you find on rabbifinman.com? You'll find archived editions of the show, archived editions of the Jewish Hour. You missed something? You want to hear something again? No problem. rabbifinman.com or click on the radio tab. There you go. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic Story, and classes, each conveying Judaism in an entertaining and educational way. Right there. You don't even have to go anywhere. And if your smartphone's good enough, you could even listen to it in the car. You'll also find, I wouldn't suggest you do this during driving, but maybe at a stoplight, you'll also find the very important donations page. Yes, it is April. We are fully entrenched in the month of April, and we need to pay for the show. And we pay for the show by people, through people like you. You're the one who are paying for it. This is listener radio since 21 years we're doing this. Every single week I make the deal. If you go to the phone, go to the computer and click on the donations page and make a decent enough donation, and your donation happens to be the one that covers this month, and the month is covered, we don't do any more pledges, requests for money for the rest of the month. If we're current, we're paid up, that's all I care. I know it's month to month. It's been month to month to month to month for 21 years already. That's a lot of months. And you could do it. Don't like doing internet giving? I understand. Some people are not into that. Drop your donation in an envelope or any other type of mailable receptacle and send it off to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. In the city of Apta, which is located many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms, there was a rabbi in the mid-1700s by the name of Avram Yehoshua Heschel. And he was known as the Ohev Yisrael, the lover of Israel. He had this uncanny ability of finding favor in every situation. So it once happened that in the next town over from Apta, which at this point I don't remember the name, something like Kozlitz or something like that, another one of those cities which is many miles east of Grosse Pointe Farms, there lived an innkeeper. Now, what did an innkeeper mean? An innkeeper meant that there was a non-Jewish squire who had some land, and he would rent out parts of his estate to various and sundry individuals for the purpose of making him money. And in doing so, would provide a livelihood for these people. It was basically sharecropping in a feudal type state. So the innkeeper, which is basically another way for saying a bar, would buy vodka, sell it to the peasants, pay his rent, pay his bills, and hopefully live happily ever after. So it just so happened that this innkeeper wasn't exactly the best businessman. So he was late, and there was excuses, and finally the squire just said, I've had enough of your excuses. If you are late next month, you will regret it. I want the rent on the first of the month. Now, as it just so happened that month, the first of the month was a Saturday, so he couldn't pay it anyway, which meant he should have gone to pay it on Friday, but he didn't. And as he was about to go to the synagogue, he was accosted by a group of peasants, Cossack peasants, who for 9 o'clock in the morning were probably still partying from last night. And they came in and they trashed his house. quite literally, in front of his wife and kids. And he did the best he could. They were traumatized. Everybody's traumatized. And he did the best that he could. And he realized that he needed some help. So he went off to APT. I guess it was in a walking distance. And he got there at the Shalashutas time, the third meal time. And he heard the APT Rabbi saying that there's two ways to say who redeems Israel. There's one way, which is Ga'al Yisrael, which is as it appears in the Haggadah, which means who redeemed Israel. But three times a day we say Ga'al Yisrael, who redeems Israel. And indeed, if there is a, without even looking at him, he said, if there is an innkeeper whose house was trashed by some drunken Cossacks, he should know Ga'al Yisrael, there is a redeemer of Israel who will redeem him. So he heard this, he just went home, he was so happy. The end of the Sabbath, so the Cossacks came back, and this guy's just dancing. He's just so happy to see them. And they reported back, the guy's lost his mind. So he called him, the squire called him and said, listen, you know what? You must have lost your mind. He says, listen, why don't you just, I'll send you a letter of credit. Go to my cousin, get some vodka, sell it for a profit, pay your bills on time. And indeed, everything worked out well. This is another version of Chad Gadya we're closing with. This is one of my favorites. This is actually composed by Meir Oysher of 1934. And we want to wish you a continued good yontif, and see you back next week. All good things.